to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. I was playing sing-along with Brother Steve. I think I got about as low as he gets over there. I was trying to anyway. Philippians chapter 1. As we've been looking in chapter 1, our key verse is verse 21, where he says right there in that verse, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And we have everything to look forward to in heaven, and everything that we'll have forever will be there. It'll already be there when we get there. God will reward us for what we did while we were here. Your judgment on whether or not you're saved was already settled on Calvary. And if you've accepted that payment, you will not be judged on that. Your works as far as sins will not be judged because Jesus judged them all. And He took on them all them sin for you so that you might take on His righteousness. And we see that this chapter is 30 verses, 632 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. And we saw, as we're looking at these first 18 verses, they deal with Jesus and His personal gifts. His personal gifts. I want you to, as we pick up in verse 15 down to verse 18, the Bible says, "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." I've had people tell me that they have favorite preachers, and this evangelist is their favorite preacher. But what's sad is I have people come up to me and tell me who they hate. "Well, I can't stand this preacher, and I can't stand that one." Well, I'll preach to you not on the preacher that Paul liked. I'm going to give you his like list. And as we look at this thing tonight, let's pray God to help us and show us this thing from the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we come to You and we pray, God, that You'll move in our midst tonight, God. Let us never say, "I hate such and such," come off our lips. God, let us love the man of God and the people of God, Lord, as You love us. Lord, as You loved us when we was unlovable. And Lord, I pray, God, You'd help us to see that. And Lord, just because somebody don't say something we like, Lord, help us, God, not to remember that they may be right, God. Help us, Lord God, to check in the Word of God. And if they're right, help us repent. And if they're wrong, Lord, I pray, God, You'd touch the man of God and help him. And Lord, I pray, God, right now as we look into this section of Scripture tonight, God, You'd open our understanding. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And I pray, God, that You'd help me to preach this thing according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank You in advance for everything You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray and for His sake. Amen. As we look tonight, I want to preach to you again on the preachers that Paul liked. And if you look at verse number 15, the first preacher he liked, in the first part of that verse, he said, "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife." Paul liked the preacher of condemnation. You ever heard somebody say, "Well, our preacher, every time he gets up, he preaches on hell. Ain't a thing wrong with that, friend." The preacher of condemnation. Say, that creates envy and strife. It should be. If you got a pile of devils up in you and they don't like the Word of God and they don't like the man of God, that preacher of condemnation, or every time he preaches, ought to stir you up till you either get thrown out or get them devils thrown out of you. Because see, that preacher that has that envy and strife about him, he's trying to fight for the Lord. He's trying to fight for the Lord. And I see that he may not be perfect, but I know this much. He's trying to do something that somebody else won't do for you, and that's preach this Bible to you and try to help you. I know that every preacher's not alike, and we're dealing with several types here. And all the preachers you've ever heard probably fit in one of these four types. But I do know this much. He said, "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife." Hey, sometimes these preachers get jealous of other things. They preach against things. Let me tell you something. When I didn't have cable, couldn't afford cable, it was a sin, bless God, for you to have it. And I mean that thing for a fact. But as I grew in the Lord, listen, as I grew in the Lord, I understood something. Just because I can't afford it don't mean it's a sin. Amen. It's kind of like y'all when y'all say, "I got that 42-inch or 56-inch TV and I got it to watch the news on." Sure you did. Sure you did. You got it to watch the ball game on. I know. I got one too. Don't look at me like that. Y'all bought it for me. But listen to this. "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife." Some preachers like to get up there and fight things and condemn things. There's some preachers that when the next movie you like comes out, they're going to be in that pulpit preaching against it, and they're going to make you mad because they called that thing out, and they called that actor's name out, and they called them people's name out, and they're preaching against it. Whether he's right or wrong, I say preach, man of God.
Amen.
At least he's preaching against something, amen. This crowd, they, you can listen, they must have a bunion on their lung or something, because they can't get enough breath to preach against anything anymore. It's like if you ask them to preach against something, they say, well, that'd be divisive. Yeah, it is. It's divisive. Get up there and preach against it.
Yeah.
Listen, preach against the next Star Wars movie if you want to. Preach against the next Harry Potter movie. Preach against the Lord of the Rings. Preach against the Matrix. Preach against all of them if you want to. Preach, condemn them all. At least you have backbone to say you against something.
Amen.
I'm tired of people not being against nothing. Can't tell what you've heard if you ain't against nothing. Amen. Whose team you on anyway if they're doing that stuff? See, the preacher of condemnation, he might preach Christ of envy and strife, but did you catch the fact he preached Christ? Jesus first and then he's against something.
Come on.
So you can't just preach envy and strife, you've got to preach Christ, then preach against stuff. And listen, that preacher of condemnation is a preacher that Paul liked. He said, I like that man of God. The second preacher, he said in verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of, watch this, good will. Now, he's not preaching for the good will story. I don't want you to get that in mind. But he said some also of good will. That's the preacher of commission. You and I have been handed out a commission. Our commission in Matthew chapter 28 is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ into all this world, everywhere. And our commission has not changed. We're to take the good news of Jesus Christ out. We're to preach, listen, we're to preach the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, being superior over all other things that people say can get you to heaven and can get you forgiven. Whether it's a man wearing a dress trying to get you to call him Papa when he's dressed like Mama, we say the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is far greater than what that guy can offer. If it's somebody walking around with holy smoke in their hand and they passing it back and forth and saying all kind of chantments and all that, listen, hey, we preach Christ, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. It's the commission that Jesus Christ has given us, and we preach against all that voodoo and all that witchcraft, amen. We're still against all that stuff, and we preach that the commission God has given us is to take that goodwill of God out there and give it to everybody so that men might be saved. We are seeing a lack of that in this world because we see a lack of the preacher of commission. Paul said, I like him. He knows where he's going. He's going to go preach somewhere. He's going to go preach on a. He's going to go out there and preach in the jungle to the people till the jungle people start showing up and try to win all into Jesus and then build a church out of the ones that get saved. I like the one that goes out of the commission and says, you know what? I may not can preach like your favorite evangelist, but I'm still taking what God called me to do. I'm going out there. I'm going to go out there and preach what God gave me to preach to the people God told me to go to. I'm going to take the commission out there to them, and I'm not going to worry about whether I make the sword of the Lord. I'm going to worry whether I make papers in heaven about it or not. He said, I like that preacher of commission. That preacher of commission is the God's reason why we've got the gospel today is because of him.
Yeah.
Some preacher of commission said, you know what? I heard what Paul said. I'm going to go do that. He said, go out there and preach the word, be instant in season. I said, I'm going to do that. He said, I know I read in the scriptures where Matthew wrote down that Jesus said that very thing, to go into all the world. I'm going to do that. I read where Luke wrote down that he said, he told us over there in that thing we got put up right back there to preach the gospel and it'll be witnesses everywhere. I'm going to do that thing right there because it's good. You'll never, listen, you'll never convince me it's not the goodwill of God for you to be a witness for him everywhere you go. And Paul said, I like that preacher. He'll do it. I've heard people say, well, I don't understand why such and such wants to do all that other stuff. Are they just trying to be seen? They may be, but they may not be. They may be following the commission that that preacher gave. They got a preacher commission. It's their pastor. And he's telling them to go out there and win them people to Jesus. Now, I'm not for a church just being evangelistic and don't teach the Bible. But listen, I'm not against it either. If all they want to do is preach evangelistic message and tell people they must be born again, and that's what God's directing them to, I'd say to that church, you must be born again. Amen. I know sometimes people don't understand this thing. They'll say, well, I just don't see it like that. Well, it ain't for you to see. It's for him to see. And that preacher of commission says, I need to preach the good will of God. And that good will is that all might be saved. Notice this one. He said in verse number 16 down here, he said in verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention. And it says this man here is not even sincere. This is not sincere. This is supposed to add affliction to my bonds. So we got the preacher of condemnation, the preacher of commission, and Paul said, I also like that preacher of contention. He preaches against me. You know the best friend you have is somebody who don't agree with you 100% of the way? You know what they'll do? They'll either, you're so immature that if you disagree with them, you're going to get mad about it. Poke your little lip out. You little diaper fool too? Amen. Amen. Listen to me. I see a lot of people say, well, that just makes me mad when our preacher preaches. Well, it makes me mad too when you listen to it and you don't get something out of it.
Amen.
But listen, he's talking about the preacher contention. He said, this man's not even sincere. I've heard people say, well, as long as such and such is sincere, it's okay to do such and such. Well, this guy, he ain't even sincere about it. He's just contending. Who's he contend with? He's contending with the Apostle Paul. He didn't say this man was a reprobate. He didn't say he wasn't saved. He said this man is a preacher of contention, and he's supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Well, I know Paul's in prison, but he could at least get a haircut. He could wear the right clothes. He could wear his tie while he's in prison instead of looking like a heathen. He could get a Scofield Bible instead of just sitting in there quoting it. I mean, you hear all this stuff. But you know what the man of God says? I like that preacher too. Because you know what that preacher did? He challenged Paul to make sure he is right on the things he is saying. When somebody contends with you about something, and listen to this, I'm talking about somebody contending with you that does not do it in a good way, and they are saying you're wrong, and you have to listen to this stuff, why don't you go find out if they're right? The Bible tells us that sometimes we're so hard-headed, God sends us a messenger like that, and He'll tell us things that we don't want to hear. God tried to tell you, but you were listening to God, so now He's telling you, and you don't like Him. Do you not like God? See, this all goes together with Psalm 119:165 about great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Paul wasn't offended about the preacher of contention. Why? He was wanting to see what he's contending about. Some of the best things that ever happen to people is they listen to somebody else instead of showing their ignorance all the time by open mouth.
Right.
I understand that a lot of people, they say, well, I've got reasons why I do such and such. Are they good reasons or are they Bible reasons? If somebody's preaching contention and they're contending with you, it might very well be that the Holy Spirit of God's doing the contending. It might be God's Holy Spirit's doing the contending about that thing because He wants to deal with you and you ain't wanting to deal with Him. So you've avoided Him, then you sit down in a service like this, and then somebody like me comes up and says something and you think I'm the preacher of contention. And I'm fine with that. If you think I'm different than you, you find out why I'm different than you. I'll sit down and show you in the Bible. If there's something different that you think is vastly different, I want to see it because I want to do right. Just in the Bible, listen, since the day I got saved, if somebody shows me something in the Bible and shows me how it is in the Bible, I'm ready to do that thing. I'll tell you what I'm not ready to do. I'm not ready to come up with my own philosophy about it and say, well, you know, I know people go to church trying to prove they're a Christian. I don't go to church to prove I'm a Christian. I come here to worship the Lord, to pray with the saints of God, to listen to the Bible being preached and taught. I come here to see you. Listen, I don't come here to prove nothing. I done realized something. When about 20 years ago, I'd have probably said, yeah, I got to go and prove it to myself and prove it to them. Now, I don't care if you believe it or not. Listen, I already believe it. I'm going to go on. And the only thing I'm going to prove is this. I'm going to prove that I'm going to love God by what He said.
Right.
And I'm not going to prove that to you. I got to prove that to Him.
Amen.
You ever heard that thing we was joking about this a while ago about this message is for you tonight. This message is for you. Well, they should have been here to hear it. Amen. Listen, I ain't worried about what they hear to hear or not. I'm worried about whether I'm going to preach it right or not.
Yeah.
And listen, I got to bring the food whether they eat or not.
Right.
And see, he points out, being the preacher of contention, that this guy wasn't even sincere about it, and he tried to add affliction to the bonds that Paul was already in. Can you imagine being locked up in jail, and then here comes the jail ministry in, and they start calling your name out? Well, if you was right with God, you wouldn't be sitting in the jailhouse. If you wasn't out there committing crimes against the Roman Empire, you wouldn't be sitting in the jailhouse. He had done neither. What did he do wrong? He got up there and preached the gospel, and they didn't like it. They threw him in jail.
Right.
It was a usual thing for him, though. See, a lot of people, they say, well, if somebody's in that jail, they're in there because they're a convict, and they need to be locked up. And that's probably true for most, but he wasn't in there for that reason.
Right.
He's in there for jealousy.
Right.
What they was worried about was he's going to get their people to see the Bible and open up the Bible and see it for themselves and start living according to what God said instead of what they said. And them preachers come in there and contend with Paul about that, preach against him, preach, listen. And these guys had some guts about him because he said they done it, listen, it says, he said the preacher, one preached Christ of contention, and listen, he done this thing with the fervency of saying, I'm going to preach on it with you sitting there.
Right.
Listen, when you walk into certain places, a certain preacher gets up, he sees you sitting there and says, oh God, I can't say nothing there. Oh, I was going to preach on the such and such, but they hear I'm going to preach on something else. Don't preach on what they're against. Let's preach while they're there.
Amen.
Listen, if you see a Jehovah's Witness show up, preach on the millennial reign of Christ, the rapture of the church, the new heaven and new earth, and preach how Jesus has come to save sinners, and he's not a begotten God, he's the begotten Son of God, and how he's against all the cults, and preach that thing just like it says it, and let them go out and drink them a case of beer when they get done and worry about it.
Amen.
Let God deal with them. You preach what's right.
Amen.
When you see somebody come up and say, well, such and such is here. Why don't you not mention such and such while they're here? Why don't you not listen? Why don't you leave that man of God alone and let him contend with them? Because he might be preaching on something that they very well need to hear. And if he sees them come in, let them preach on it.
Amen.
You never know that God sends somebody something like that so they can hear it.
Right.
It's kind of funny how we had a Jehovah's Witness sit in this church and nobody knew it but me. So how'd you figure out they wouldn't salute that flag right there? Then they turned around and wouldn't salute that one. I said, J.W. Went and visited them at their house. They said, what do you think about Jehovah's Witness? I said, I think they're Russellites. I think they're following Charles Russell. I think they're deceived. Here's why I think they're deceived. Here's what the Bible says. It starts showing them out. They said, I ain't never seen that before. That's when you let God deal with them. You show them out of the book. And don't tell them. My preacher can tell you. You tell them. You find out where it's at in the Bible. You tell them. That's how you do it. And tell them, listen, here's what the Bible says. Here's what Jesus said about being born again. Because I promise you this, if they're following that, they're not.
Right.
And you could take the Bible and show them Christ and show them that thing. But you got to contend with them. See, sometimes God sends you a preacher of contention to contend with you, to challenge what you believe, to see if you really believe that. You ever heard somebody get up and say, well, come on, devil. You won't get me and your Pharisees won't either. Well, guess what? He'll send you the devil and the Pharisees, see if you really believe that. See how tough you really are. He'll contend with you. You know what contenders are in boxing? They guys already been in a fight. And they're looking for another one. This preacher here that Paul said, I like him too. He said, he fights.
Yeah.
He said, he might be fighting wrong. He might not be fighting sincerely, but he fights. And I like the man of God.
Amen.
Amen. Look here, verse 17. He says, but the other of love. The other of love. Now get this. Not knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. He says about these preachers, this preacher here, this is the preacher of confrontation. He's going to confront Paul, and he's going to do it with love. And when he said the other of love, that ties back to verse 17, this guy ain't sincere either. We just need to preach everybody loves people. God loves you, little girl and little boy. God loves you, sir. God loves you, ma'am. Hey, I wish people like that would grow a beard and be a man. Amen. And listen, stop letting your wife get your sermons together and preach what the book says and quit saying that four-letter word love so much because obviously you don't believe it.
Amen.
So how do you know? Because he's trying to confront Paul and tell Paul he don't love people. Paul, the reason you preach like that is you don't love people. You hate people. You raise your voice and you preach to them. You know, when I started preaching, I wanted to know what God said about preaching. And I did a study in the Bible, all these people that preached in the Bible, all these men of God. And I found out something. They all had one thing in common. They all lifted up their voice. And I wondered why that was until I started pastoring. Then I figured out, if you don't raise your voice, you ain't going to get nobody's attention. If you don't get their attention, they're going to fall asleep on you. If they fall asleep, they didn't hear you. I had one fellow early on tell me, he said, I dozed off, and you said Genesis, woke up, and you said Revelation. I said, Lord have mercy, you was asleep with your eyes open, wasn't you? People get like that. You can't preach love all the time. See, it's unbalanced to be confronting people with saying, well, you don't love each other because you scream and holler at them. Just because they don't do it like you do it don't mean they're doing it wrong. But this guy doing that love, Paul said he wasn't sincere either. Well, I just want to tell everybody I love you. You know what? What gets me at funerals is sometimes I get people like they'll get up and say this. I want to thank you, family, for letting me be here, and I appreciate everything you do for me. And I'm glad to be able to come be part of your family today and part of this. Now, your drunk daddy in the casket, now, he's, bless God, he's in heaven, if I've ever seen a man in heaven before. I know he had marijuana in his pocket and liquor in his side pocket, and I know we put 5 pints of liquor in him, but we know he's in heaven with Jesus today. We need preachers like that to quit.
Amen.
That's not love.
Amen.
And I learned something through my learning. If somebody has to tell you, I love you over and over and over and over, they don't believe it either. Now, on the back side of that, I can kind of see why some of these people have to preach on love their congregation all the time, because that bunch is hateful as a bunch of devils. True story. You encounter them in the grocery store and you wouldn't even know they're saved. So how do you know? Because I asked them, I thought you were saved. They said, I am. What's to fear for? You know what they turn into? Godzilla. Rawr! Fire coming out. And they show up at church and that guy's saying, we need to love everybody. I can kind of see it. I can kind of see it. You get behind them in traffic. And Lord, don't pull out in front of them by mistake. Here he comes. They go to church and say, God, we need to love everybody. You're getting the message now, right? He may not be sincere, but God may be sending it to you sincerely.
Amen.
And Paul said, you know what, though, out of all these preachers, I like all of them. He says in verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, 3 words, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. Now get this thing here. He liked the guy that condemned everybody. He liked the guy that preached the commission everywhere he went. He liked the man that contended with him, and he liked the man that confronted him. He said, as long as they're preaching Jesus, they can call my name. I don't care. See, because he knew something. This worked. When somebody tells me, oh, well, preaching, if you just have to preach today, people won't respond to it. I don't care if they respond to it or not. My job is to preach to them. Before God ever called me to, when God saved me and before He ever called me to pastor, He called me to preach. My job is to preach. I'm not looking for ways to get out of it. I'm looking for ways to get into it. And when people come along and say, well, you're a little rough on people who preach them all the time. Why don't you have a skit for the youth? Okay? Why have a skit for the youth and not preach them behind it? I was in a church one time, and they had a homecoming thing, and they had this homecoming speaker, and these 4 cowboys come walking in the back door. And you couldn't mistake what they was. You'd hear this first, ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. And they come walking down the center of the church. And they're saying stuff going, is this a bunch of Christians? This is the sorriest bunch of Christians I ever seen. What you looking at? And I mean, they just did that. I thought, my goodness, these some rough fellows. And they got up there and said, anybody here saved? And nobody raised a hand. Because that's what we thought. Then the guy took out his Bible and started preaching to him. There's you, youth skip. Of course, we can't do that now because that guy'd get shot before he got in the pulpit.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, that got everybody's attention. That's the skip that get everybody's attention.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, he said, not in every way. He said, Christ is preached. We don't do it through dance and song, honey. We don't do that here.
Right.
We ain't doing Christian dancing. And before you come up to me and tell me anything about dancing, I'm going to tell you something. You may tell me David danced before the Lord, but Jesus never did. You may tell me how all this dancing went about, but Moses never did dance with them. Amen, friend. And if he did, he wasn't dancing to the Bee Gees or the rap music of the day. There is that. But let me point something else out to you. However Jesus done it, that's how we ought to do it.
Amen.
He's our example to walk in His steps. And Paul said, I'm following the Lord. He said, as long as they preach in Him, may Christ is preached. He said, I therein do rejoice. Do you know how many times I go to fellowship meetings and sit and hear preachers I don't even like to hear? It's awful. They get up there and say, well, I ain't got nothing ready. And you pray for me while I preach. You don't have to tell us that. We already can tell by when you start. All you got to do is open up that book, let it rip. We don't care how you do it, just do it.
Right.
Preach Jesus, man. Preach Jesus. Somebody come along and said, well, I wasn't expecting to be called on to preach today, and they'll fundraise. Anybody got a word from the Lord? No, we ain't got a word from the Lord. You tell us the word from the Lord.
Amen.
Preach.
Amen.
Preach. And I found this out. Even the ones I don't like to hear, eventually will tell me something I can hear and something that will help me, just because they're using the Bible.
Yeah, right.
And after I get through it all that, I feel kind of bad and say, you know, I didn't like that, but now I kind of like that guy. He said something that's really helpful today.
Yeah.
Really encouraging. And then you know what happens? Somebody calls on me to preach one of them things. And they come back and say, I don't like listening to him. And you know what? I don't like listening to me either. I don't listen to me either. I understand. But I do know this. Somehow or another, God uses this book and something gets preached out of it and you and I get help out of it. We ought to just maintain.
Right.
Instead of trying to fall all over ourselves and say, well, we don't like such and such preacher. I don't like how preachers act sometimes, but I like preaching. And I don't care how they deliver it, whether they talk, or whether they scream, or whether they run around the pulpit making laughs. If they can do that, if you've got good enough help to do that, make you some laughs. Just make sure we understand you while you're doing it.
Amen.
Don't be sucking wind while you're doing it. I would like to, you know. That's why I don't run around side. But I thought you'd hear me sucking wind. And that wouldn't be good. Y'all probably think I was hacking like in mountain preachers. And God, and he said. No, I'd be trying to get my breath. That's what would be happening. But I like the fact he said, I like all of them. I like the man of God.
Amen.
Why? Because he's called of Jesus Christ, and he's standing up doing what God called him to do.
Amen.
Hey, can you say that about your Christian life, that you are taking and doing what God called you to do? Let me ask you this. Let me ask this, Christian. When I started bringing up these preachers that Paul's naming off here, was there one of them you said, I'd rather go sit in the nursery and listen to him when he comes to our church? Bless your soul, let me tell you something. I wouldn't want to go to heaven with that coming across my breath
right.
while I was alive here on this earth.
Amen.
You know why? God has a sense of humor. He will park your mansion right beside that one's mansion, and you'll live in eternity with him for saying that. You'll learn to love him. If you can't learn to love him here, you're going to learn to love him over on that side.
Right.
Dear friend, listen today. As they some preachers get on your nerves, I know they get on mine sometimes, but I know this. All of them got something they can say to you to help you with.
Right.
Say, well, I don't like certain kinds. Well, if you was one, what kind would you be? Well, I wouldn't like that kind, so there you go. Hey, listen, let's get back to the fact we love the preaching of the Word of God. And the only time we don't like it is when a false prophet's doing it.
Right.
And he needs to be set down anyway.
Amen.
I had somebody tell me, they said, their preacher got up and was preaching on this stuff. It wasn't in the Bible and telling us this stuff. I said, what did you say? They said, nothing. I said, did anybody talk to him at the service about it? They said, no. Somebody needs to say something.
Right.
Listen, if they are a heretic, get them on the first and second admonition of it.
Yeah.
Tell them. Because
right.
It might be like Aquila and Priscilla helped a young guy named Apollos. Apollos was lost, but he is a good speaker. But they could tell by what he was saying. He didn't have the gospel of Jesus Christ and knew nothing of it.
Yeah.
But he could preach good. You ever heard that before? I don't like what he said, but he sure can say it good. Well, he may not be saying the gospel at all. Y'all might need to just go up to him and talk to him about it and say, listen, I know you intend well, but you're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've not told sinners how to get saved. You've not taught the saved the Bible verse by verse. You've not helped us out, preachers. There's something wrong. Because some guys, you might run into an Apollo you might could help. Of course, then again, you might run into a bar of Jesus, too. That guy over there, the other guy, Paul had to call on the Lord to make him blind.
Right.
You might run into him. But one thing's for sure, when we get men of God in here preaching like this right here, that he's saying, we don't like these preachers because not only do we like them, God likes them. Amen. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye.